a devotion of the devotional series of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Artwork About His Work. In last week's devotions, I introduced you to Christian Scriver, author of the most read Lutheran devotional book of the 17th century, entitled The Soul's Treasure, a 330-year-old book in my library. As previously mentioned, a great number of the devotions are about a fictional character named Gotthold and his observations of nature's praise of God as is perceived by Christians who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit's work through Scripture to find Gotthold, God-love, in the simple and the ordinary things of life. So today let's consider this devotion by Scriver. It's entitled Subsided Mud. In a vessel filled with muddy water, the thickness visibly subsided to the bottom and left the water purer and purer, until at last it seemed perfectly limpid. The slightest motion, however, brought the sediment again to the top, and the water became thick and turbid as before. Here, said Gotthold, when he saw it, here we have an emblem of the human heart. The heart is full of the mud of sinful lusts and carnal desires, and the consequence is that no pure water, that is, good and holy thoughts, can flow from it. It is, in truth, a miry pit and a slough of sin, in which all sorts of ugly reptiles are bred and crawl. Many a one, however, is deceived by it, and never imagines his heart half so wicked as it really is, because sometimes its lusts are at rest, and sink, as it were, to the bottom. On such occasions, his thoughts are apparently devout and holy, his desires pure and temperate, his words charitable and edifying, and his works useful and Christian. But this lasts only so long as he is not moved. I mean, so long as he is without opportunity or incitement to sin. Let that occur, and worldly lusts rise so thick that his whole thoughts and words and works show no trace of anything but slime and impurity. One is meek as long as he is not thwarted, but cross him, and he is like a powder, ignited by the smallest spark, and blazing up with a loud report and destructive effect. Another is temperate so long as he has no jovial companions, a third chaste while the eyes of men are upon him. Alas, my God, how often have I fancied that the world and all its lusts were 1,000 miles away, and yet afterwards discovered that, like a crafty foe, she had kept quiet only to attack and beguile me unawares. Often in my communings with thee, O Lord, I have vowed that I would be courteous and friendly to the man by whom I had been injured, and would show it by my deportment. Nay, if required at the time, I would have confirmed my vow with any number of oaths, and yet I have afterwards found that the very sight of him so violently stirred and agitated my heart that nothing was visible in it but the mire of enmity. O, my God, purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. Thus ends Scriver's devotion. And that gives me reason to speak of one of the shortcomings of 17th, 18th, and 19th century devotions, even those of an otherwise orthodox Lutheran pastor like Scriver. There is, to be sure, a tendency to dwell so much on the needed improvement in the life of the Christian that the centrality of Jesus Christ and his saving work is too often neglected. That tendency morphed into what is known as the age of pietism. Perhaps the omission of Christ's saving work in many of the devotions of Scriver can be attributed to a desire to keep his devotions brief. But brevity at the expense of Christ is far too expensive and runs counter to Christ as the soul's treasure. Remember how Scriver ended his devotion? By quoting the Psalm 51, purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. There Screever was, right on the edge of bringing Christ in as the heart of his devotion. How? Well, how does God purge us? Doesn't he wash us through baptism into the death and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that in him we're whiter than snow? Isn't that how his Spirit creates a clean heart within us, the Spirit who then, throughout our lives, so powerfully works through his word and sacraments to compress that sinful mud that Screever talks about so that it doesn't have mastery over us? Yes, it gets stirred up within us all too often, but as often as it does, we have the cleanser of our hearts. We've got the washer of our souls who prepares us and finally bears us home to where sin is not only settled within us, but to where sin is no more. Now that was well worth the extra minute, wasn't it? After all, because of Christ, we have an eternity of them. In his name, amen.